All right, let's open up here at 1 Timothy 4 and 4. 1 Timothy 4 and 4. Now this is get back. Well, let's go 1 Timothy 4. And I guess one. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. All right, then we want to go to Acts 27 in connection. This is Paul here. And, if I can get to the right page here, I'll read right. 27 and about 34 to 36 here. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat. And this is Paul. They're on a ship. The angel of the Lord, I believe, is this place. I didn't read it all, but if I remember, my memory serves me right. This is where they were in trouble on a ship. And the Lord visited Paul, I think, and told him that there's not going to be a hair on anybody's head, you know, hurt or go down or be destroyed or whatever. And so then in the 34th verse, I believe they said they had fasted. And there was a lot of fasting going on for days, and Paul decided to break the fast. It was time to do something different. And he said, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and he gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now, this is a teaching of being thankful for our food. Now, really, we're a little spoiled in America. Would you say so? We've got plenty to eat. It's all around us, food everywhere. And maybe get a little tougher to find, I don't know. And this pandemic might kind of tighten things down. But I hadn't gone hungry yet, have you? The Lord has blessed. He has given. But even if it got down that we were eating like Brother Michael Nim sent a plea out that they were sending a certain thing, buying a certain thing for the people. That was a type of rice or corn or something over there back in what the fall it was. And that's all they had to eat. But we still got to be thankful for that. We got to be thankful for what gives us, if it's a Cattleman steak or if it's all the way down to just, I've been eating Vienna sausage with my breakfast. And the reason was I didn't want to fry bacon and I didn't want to fry sausage. So I just opened a can of Vienna sausage, and I'm eating that, and eggs, and grits, and so forth. It wasn't bad. A little toast to go with it, jelly on top of that. But I thank the Lord for it. See, that's something that the Lord wants us to be extremely thankful for everything. Not just one thing or two things. And even if the wife doesn't do a big thing, still she does something. If the husband doesn't do a big thing, but he does something, it's still something that we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, husband. Thank you, dear. I appreciate what you're doing. You're doing well. The Lord wants us to be appreciative for the smallest to the largest thing. So in everything, give thanks. All right, let's go to Romans 1 and 8. And let's begin to get on down to my burden here. He says here, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. All right, I want 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. It said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the church of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. All right, then we want 1 Thessalonians 3 and 7. It said, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. So I want 1 Thessalonians. I knew it wasn't reading right. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress for your faith. For now we live if we stand fast the Lord. For what thanks can we render God to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, saints, we need to thank the Lord for the saints. To flat know the people of God is a special privilege. Like I said this morning, that minister told me, he said, Carl, he had his hand on you before you was ever born. Well, what about the rest of you? He did too. He's brought people in from all corners of the earth and got them connected with the church of God, helped them to see the light and the understanding, opened everything up for them, and there they were going, thank the Lord for the truth. I've heard people make the statement, I've been looking for this for a long time. I appreciate this. Thank the Lord for that. The saints and the truth and all that the Lord does. It's been a great blessing to a lot of people. We need to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the saints. Thank you, Lord, for those people that's willing to stick behind you. Those that will stand up with you. Those that will fight with you, praise God. That don't take things lightly. The people that you don't have to go get them out of jail on Sunday morning to come preach to you. People that live a holy life and a righteous life and godly life. People that love the Lord and love you and love one another in the things of God. Thank the Lord for the saints this morning or this evening. Thank the Lord for him. Thank the Lord for his power, praise God. Oh, this morning, I count it a high privilege to know the Church of God. My dad was of another belief. My mother had known the Church of God, I guess all of her life, or biggest part of it anyway. And so when it got up old enough, guess what? I kind of had two people pulling for me. But I began to look, began to listen, and began to consider. And when he got right down to it, I said, Lord, this is what I want right here. I want the truth. I want God's people. I want to be with them. I want to be blessed with them, praise God. Listen, saint, when you look it all over, I've been in multitudes of funerals, numbers of weddings, and different things. And when you get right down to it, there ain't nobody got what we got. I don't care how the singing, the praying, the preaching, all of it is above and beyond what? We were in a funeral one time in Kansas City, Missouri. One of Rebecca's cousins died in September before she died in January. They were like that. They had been that way for several years. They had worked together. And so we went to their funeral. The first time I went to this chapel, it was huge. I found out later it had 100,000 square foot in it. My biggest daughter, she was with it, Cynthia was, and she said, Dad, said, you need to come up here and pastor them. You know what she was seeing? Money in her eyes. In other words, you come up here, you get a lot of money. I'm not in this for the money. Never have been in it for the money. The bottom line is, I'm in it for God. And so she could see the dollar sign, but we went in and they got us into the pastor's study, and all I could do was look at the beautiful, fine woodwork. I get into places where they got beautiful woodwork, all eyes. There are two things. I either clean it or I build it. And when you combine them two, it's quite an interesting deal to watch me. But anyway, I was in there and I was looking. And the man that was a song choir leader, he told us, he said, you're going to be in for an awesome service. I thought you're bragging before you even have it. Well, they brought us out and we come down through all the seats went up. So you had a bleacher-like deal is what you had. And when we come in, we faced the choir. And they were singing. And I have to admit, it was beautiful. I have to admit, the singing was pretty. They were raising their hands. They were thanking God and so forth. The service was good. I can't knock it. It's probably one of the better Babylonian services I've ever been to. But the bottom line was, when we've got anointing, there ain't nobody beats the saints. Nobody. And I'm thankful today for the Church of God. I'm thankful today that the Lord brought little old me over to join up with you all. All right, let's go to Ephesians 5 and 19. Ephesians 5 and 19. And now then we're going to get into what my real burden is. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, well, now skip my mind. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then 1 Peter 5 and 10 connects in with this, as you'll see when I get to it. It said, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The Lord is after something. He doesn't want a wetback saint, so to speak. He wants a settled and established saint. He wants one that he can count on. He wants one that'll go out and fight the battles and deal with the devil, so to speak, and come out and stand strong. He doesn't want a whipped down saint. He wants one that is perfected and established and settled in the Word and in God by the Holy Spirit. Now then it said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's my text right here. In everything give thanks. Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I want this to sink in. It's the reason I'm repeating it. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now think about what that scripture's saying. That scripture is bringing out the point that he wants you to give God thanks for everything. Because it's his will that is happening to you. Remember Job? Job, what did Job go through? The Lord let Job go through it. He allowed the devil to do it, but he had Job to go through it. Job was there and he was a perfect man and all of these things. And the devil said, well, if you got a fence around him and so forth, the Lord said, well, try him. Try him. He's a perfect man. Try him. Well, the devil did. What happened? He couldn't beat him, could he? He was settled. He was established. He was a man that was able to go through. Let me ask you a question. How many knows how long Job suffered? Was it a week? Was it a month? 2 months? A year? 2 years or three? How long was it? I was shocked when Brother Ed said he suffered 14 years. I asked him, I got him out to dinner one day, and I said, I want to know where you found that. I said, I've never seen that in all my study on that. He couldn't remember right off where he never did remember where he found it. But he said it was 14 years that he suffered. The devil trying him and he going through it. All right, now then, if you're going to go through something for a long time, it gets to be wearisome. It gets to be tiring. It can be mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausting. It can be hard on you and I. It can try you to no end, so to speak. There'll be times you may go to bed crying and wake up crying. But let me tell you something. It said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything. All right, now then, can we thank God for a sickness? You see where I'm going? Can we thank God for a sickness? Well, I had a headache last week. Can you thank God for the headache? That's not a whole lot. But the bottom line is, if you had a migraine headache that laid you up 2 or 3 days, that'd be pretty serious. But even if it's just a small headache, a sickness, an affliction, Lord help us now. I don't want to preach it any tighter than I can live it. But the bottom line is, the Lord wants us to be thankful for everything. Because it's coming through Him, by Him, and it's coming to settle you, establish you, and get you into a place where you'll be deeper and more settled and established and have more power and have more authority, where you'll be able to pray more and so forth. The Lord is sending these things, allowing them to come. Some of them may come through the devil. Some of them may come through just natural things. But the bottom line is, when you get it all down, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. Sickness. There's been a way you take... what was that man that got injured and was down for years? I can't think of his name. He wrote books. Who? No, among the saints. He was among the saints. I know who you're talking about, yeah. He went through a lot, too. I mean, he was in prison. He got married, and they swished him away and put him in prison, and he didn't even get to be with his wife no time. He had to leave her the very day they got married, and he was put in prison forever, how many long it was. But this, not Riggle, but old Heart Talks. Some of those books like that, he wrote them, and I can't think of his name. But anyway, he was down in a bed for years. Now, if you read his books, he learned exactly what I'm preaching tonight. He learned how to be happy, redeemed, and free in the afflictions that he had. It wasn't easy. It was hard. Listen, folks, they can be some real tears. One night, I had done something to this shoulder. I don't know what I'd done. I've done it twice now. I think it's a pinched nerve. And the first time it happened, Rebecca Ann was sick. So I had gone to bed. Donna was there and Rebecca. Nobody else, just the three of us. And Rebecca was hurting and needing deal. And she said, Donna, go get your daddy. She said, I am not. We're going to fight it through ourselves. We're going to pray this through, Mom. He's hurting too. He can't sleep. He can't this and he can't that. And she was right. I was tossing and turning. I was hurting. Finally, after a while, I got up. And I come out of my bedroom and I went right and I went to where the heating pad was. And I thought, well, I get a heating pad and put that on it and see if that will help. Well, as I call it, I cruised through the living room because it's just kind of a circle. And I cruised through the living room and Rebecca's sitting there and she goes, Carl said, the Lord's blessed me and he's going to bless you too. Well, thank the Lord. She'd already got her blessing. And I went in and I sat down in my recliner in my bedroom. And next thing I know, I was sound asleep and I slept solid for 3 hours. I woke up, I got my heating pad all fixed and lay back and slept another 2 or 3 hours. It was all because, but the bottom line, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Listen, folks, we're going to suffer. We're not going to go through life on beds of ease. There's some beautiful roses, but there's thorns on those rose bushes. So Lord, help us in everything give thanks. For our sicknesses, the Lord uses sickness in so many ways. He uses sickness to bring people to Him. He uses sickness to stir people up to deeper depths. He uses sickness to deepen our faith down and so forth. He uses these in all kinds of ways, thank the Lord. Can we thank the Lord for sickness tonight? Because it's coming from Him to you to bring about a deeper depth. For you. All right, what about a heartbreak? Any of you ever suffered a heartbreak? I didn't get the first girl I went after among the saints. I waited 7 years for her and I still didn't get her. It was not easy. When it finally got down that I knew it was totally over after 7 years, and we didn't stay connected really for 7 years, it had started up again. And I received word through family and friends that she was thinking and considering. And so I made my move again and looked like things was going to move. I fasted and I prayed and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to wait on the Lord. Well, I did. I thought, well, I'll wait on the Lord. And about 1 month from that point, we happened to be talking one night and she said, Carl, the Lord spoke to me and said, we're not to be together. Something like that. That was tough. I cried a lot of tears. I was hurt deeply. But you know what? The Lord helped me. The Lord was there. He was there in the times when I was crying and bawling. And Sister Marie Miles, she sent me a 6-page letter helping me. Brother Leslie was there. Sister Sylvia was there. Brother Tommy Milo at that time, he was there. These people are there to help me. Listen, folks, if you think somebody's hurting, I want to encourage you to get behind them and help them. Get behind them. Let them know you love them. Let them know you pray for them. Let them know that you're part of the congregation and we want you right here. This is a place you need to be. What about if you'd have a home burned to the ground? Anybody ever lost a home? I've never lost a home. Never had a house catch on fire. I lost a chicken house one time years ago when I was a boy and we were into raising broilers and that thing caught on fire somehow and burned down to the ground. I lost that, but that's not your home. There has been people among the saints that they went away somewhere and come back and their home was on fire. Or maybe it caught fire and they were there. That would be tough. There's pictures, there's memories, all of that. I've lived, well, let's see, I lived in the one in Oklahoma City. I moved in 78, and I left there in 98. So I lived there 20 years. I guess I lived in that house longer than any place I've ever lived. South Carolina was about 6 years, and I've been in this house about 15 years now, I guess, from 04 to now, whatever that is, 16 years maybe. And a lot of memories there, a lot of blessings there, a lot of glory there. I prayed things down, and it's gone. That'd be painful, folks. Could we thank the Lord? I mean, I'm talking about stuff that's real life, folks. I'm putting it down where the rubber meets the road. And you say, well, that'll never happen to me, Brother Carl. It can. Your house could burn. I appreciate the goodness of this congregation to me. I appreciate the triple plus A treatment that I get today and every time I've been here over the last few years. I mean, you was good back years ago too. But since I've been coming back, y'all have been real good to me and I appreciate that. But it'd be hard to see that house that I was in today see it burn. It'd be hard on me. I've only been there one time. I've been in some people's homes over and over and over. My boss's home one time, big home, burned, just about burned plumb to the ground. And when I got there, he was there. And I started crying. It was hurtful to see the damage that had been done. They don't really know what happened, but they've got an idea. And he said, Carl, I don't remember now what he told me, but he said, son, he said, he was pretty not jubilant about it, but he was rashly minded about it. He wasn't crying out against God or anything like that. I know people that they carry things on their heart for life. There's people that's lost their companions. I know it was a customer. He lived down the street here and had my station here, and he went to the cemetery this way. He went every day to that cemetery. Now, that's good to a point, but at a point, the Lord wants you to move on from something like that. Brother Ed told me, with Rebecca said, Carl said, you're going to get to a place concerning the cemetery that you're going to have to move on. Said, don't hang on to it. And I didn't. When I got there, I realized where I was at, and I moved on from that point. Well, that's the way it is with any of these things. There's going to be a time that we may cry, we may hurt, we may be fasting and praying for grace and mercy. But the bottom line is it comes to a place where the grace of God and the power of God said it's time to move on. It's time to thank you, Lord. Thank you for a house burning, and that would be tough. Thank you for a heartbreak. That would be tough. Thank you for a sickness. He's trying to settle us, establish us. He's wanting to bless us. He's wanting to deepen us down. Sister Maxine, in about 1980... I think it was 81 when they had the wreck. Some of you might remember that. Some of you too young to remember that. But that's where Jan and Colleen were killed. And Sister Maxine was nearly killed. They was hit by head-on with a drunk driver. They were headed to a park, I believe it was. They was having a gathering for something, young people or whatever it was. And she had her daughter and her niece with her. And both of those girls were killed. Well, Maxine told me, said, Carl, I had been seeking God. Now, this come directly from her. I didn't get this off of the grapevine or whatever you want to call it. I didn't get it off that. I got directly from her. She said, I was praying the Lord to help me to dig down more in God. I was wanting to get closer. And after what she went through, she said, I believe he settled my feet in cement. That's a pretty good way to look at it. Thank the Lord, in other words, for what you're doing, Lord. You've done this to help settle me and establish me and get me deeper, praise God. Listen, folks, if something like that will get us to heaven, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to lose it all. It's all going to burn one day, every day. No matter how much money you got, how much food you got, how many clothes you got, how many homes you got, how many cars you got. Listen, some of these rich people have got homes all over the place. But one of these days, it's all going to be gone. And I'd rather be right with the Lord. And I'd rather be in a position with God and thanking God for what He's done than to try to hang on to it and lose my soul. Then you're going to burn. The Lord wants us to give it up if He wants to take it. And say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're trying to do. Well, a car accident is another one. Like I said, that's what Maxine told me. But there have been different saints. Has been in car accidents. Brother Hiram Ray's wife. Brother Hiram Ray's wife, if I can get it right. Her and her son. Now, this happened before I was saved, but it happened down there in Tennessee, I believe it was. It wasn't too awful far. Maybe it was, somewhere, Memphis. I think it was around Memphis. And they were in a car wreck. And as she was being thrown out of the car, she said something about, Lord, have mercy on me. That's all she could say. It happened so quick. She hit the post that was right here that was holding the windshield in. She hit that. It crushed in her head. It broke her wrist. It done pretty good damage. I don't know that they even knew she was going to live. There was people that come to see her from the Myrtle camp meeting. It happened during the Myrtle camp meeting that year, whatever year that was, in the late 60s, before I got saved in 71. And They prayed. And she was thankful for every day. But you know what? One day she thought, Lord, I've not gotten one set of roses or one set of flowers from anybody. No flowers at all. Now, that's kind of odd for a woman, in particular, not to have any flowers in her room. And she said, the Lord spoke to her, said, you've had lots of flowers. The saints have been coming to be with you. Pray for you. Oh, we're a breath of fresh air, folks. When saints walk through that door, when saints are there to help you and to pray for you, that's a breath of fresh air. That's a blooming flower, so to speak. That's so beautiful for you and I. Oh, she said, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, she lived through it and lived a number of years after that. What about lose our job? There's people that have lost their jobs. There is people in this pandemic that this thing has turned every way but loose, so to speak. Can we thank the Lord for losing our job? Lord, help us. Maybe He's got a better job. There is a man that worked as a highway patrolman out in California. I'm not going to give you any names. I know who I'm talking about, though. And he was out there and he was a highway patrol. The Lord got to dealing with him. He came to the altar and he got saved. And he got to thinking about, what am I going to do now? I can't shoot nobody. I really can't do this work. What am I going to do? And he got to praying about it. And he told the saints, said, and he was open and honest about it. And I really highly appreciated. And they said, well, we'll pray. And the Lord gave him a teaching job in the same field where he could teach people how to be whatever. And thank you, Lord. Now, there's times that we can lose a job or the Lord might just move us over to another job. Give us something better, praise God. Oh, tonight, can we thank God in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, tonight, maybe we can't get a job. Maybe we can't get a job. We've tried and tried. Brother Salmon said there was two brothers in Green Bank one time that lacked jobs and they needed a job and they put in a request and they wasn't getting anywhere. And he said the Lord answered prayer and gave them, he just flat made both of them a job. Oh, tonight, in everything, give thanks. Maybe it's not a job you really like. I have been blessed to do things that overall I like pretty good. But there are some people say, I don't like my job. Can we thank God because we got a job? You're paying the bills. I know that's not easy. I know that. Or at least I think I do. But the bottom line is, he may be using that to get you to another spot, to another place in the company or whatever it might be. You know that David Rockefeller, you ever heard of Chase Manhattan Bank? David Rockefeller was put to run Chase Manhattan Bank. Do you know what he done? Do you know how he done it? He just didn't march right in one day and said, I'm David Rockefeller and I'm going to run this bank. He come in and he said, you get me the lowest job in this whole bank. And he started at the whole bottom, cleaning. And this was a multimillionaire. His dad was one of the most powerful men in the country as far as money and riches and so forth. They owned all kinds of things. And he said, just give me the lowest place. And they did. And he started there. And he made one move up and another move up and another move up. He began to be in positions where he reached out to people. And time he got to the top, he had everybody's attention. He started at the lowest place. Where did Jesus start? Did Jesus start up here? Yeah, he did in sin. But when he started with the plan of salvation, he went to the lowest point and he come up, praise God. And when he got through, we had everything we needed, thank the Lord. Oh, tonight. Now then, let's go another way. Let's go another way. What about somebody being blessed by a new car? Have you ever had any battles? Look out there and somebody just drove up in a brand new car and yours is about to fall apart. It'd be a little tough, wouldn't it? Lord, I could sure use that. My wife and stepdaughter wants a motorhome. And I don't have the money to buy it for them right now. And besides, be honest with you, I don't want one because I've got that travel trailer at the campground. And because of my leg problem, I can't hardly stand to be in one as far as nighttime. I can stand the daytime, but there's not any room there. There's no hot tub that I climb in and get relief in my leg. There's a pretty decent bed there. But the bottom line is, I get claustrophobia anymore. They want one. Well, there's people that's being blessed by nice motorhomes, nice pickups, cars, a boat, a new home. Can you thank the Lord? There was one minister one time had a travel trailer. I guess a pretty decent travel trailer. This has been a number of years ago before I believe I ever got saved, so back in the 60s at least, maybe the 50s. And he had somebody over here that was watching him. And the Lord blessed that preacher had one to have two. And that minister is watching him thinking, I sure need one. I would just love to have one, but I don't have the money to buy it. And the Lord worked with the one that had two and took one of them and gave to the one that had none, and they both had one. In everything, give thanks. Thank the Lord. Attitude means a lot with God in these areas. We can grumble and we can groan and we can fuss in our minds, so to speak, but the bottom line is, how thankful are we? The Lord is trying to deepen us, trying to establish us, trying to settle us, trying to bless us. He's trying to do things that these things will help you and I to get there. But we got to go through some rough spots to get it. It's not all going to be a field of the greatest little things that you could ever go through. Oh, tonight, in everything, give thanks. The Lord wants us tonight to be thankful for everything. Let's go to Philippians 4 and 6. Philippians 4 and 6. And we'll be through here in a little bit. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's have a translation on that. Be careful for nothing. You know what that means? It means in nothing be anxious. Let no care trouble you. Do not worry about anything and entertain no worry. Woo! Anybody ever worry about anything? One person told me that I believe it was their wife was the biggest worrywart in town. I thought, huh? She doesn't look like she worries about anything. She gets up on Wednesday night and gives the most exuberant testimonies, and you say she's a worrywart? Yeah, she's a worrywart. Well, it said here, don't be anxious. Don't let no care trouble you. Do not worry about anything. Entertain no worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But by prayer, and then by earnest pleading, together with thanksgiving, let your requests be unreservedly made known unto God. Oh, tonight, let everything be made known with thanksgiving. Lord, you know that I would like to have a new home. You know that. But thank you, Lord, for what I got. One sister married to a carpenter. And no, I met them before the husband. He was a boy when I met that family many, many years ago. Back in the, about the time I got saved, 71, 72. Later they come with the saints. But he married a young lady. And she had in her mind, because she married a carpenter, she was going to get a new home. Boy, I'm going to get me a brand new home. She didn't get it for many moons. Long time before she did get it, but it didn't happen instantly. Well, you think maybe she had to say, Lord, I'd like a new home, but thank you for what I got. It's getting a little tight in here with the children, but Lord, we're making it. Thank you. Listen, folks, the Lord is working with us. He's taken time to help us, to teach us. He's taken time to settle us and perfect us. Isn't that something that we can say thank you, Lord, for? Thank you for what you're doing. Lord, thank you. All right, let's wrap her up. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. It said, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you thank the Lord for your victories? How many of them have you won by yourself? Hasn't Jesus helped you over and over to get victory? There's been times that maybe you were struggling and battling and fighting, and you was down praying, and the Lord spoke to you and gave you just what you needed. Scripture, song. There's been times I've sought the Lord for leadings and guidings. I remember one time I mentioned I'd preached to one person. That one person was on the side of a mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And she was a sister to Brother Vader McMillan. And she had asked Rebecca, and I said, why don't you all come through and preach to me? I'd like to have somebody come by. I never could figure it out how to get there. And I don't know what the problem was, but I just couldn't get it to work into my schedule. And I was down praying one time. And the Lord just lined it out in my mind so beautiful. And I got up in prayer and I run in. I got it, sweetheart, I got it. She goes, what you got? I told her, she said, let's go. Let's go. Oh, those are special times. Those are special times when we're looking to God, or when we're in a real battle and He comes down and He speaks to us and helps us to know exactly what He wants us to do. And we do it and we get the victory. Oh, today. But thanks be to God. Listen, folks, the enemy has been around a long time. And he's pretty wily. And he's pretty strong, but I got news for you. Our Jesus is bigger, better, and greater than he is, and he can help us in every time. All right, 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 in closing. It said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us. Listen, folks, we wouldn't have victories outside of Christ, would we? Think about them. Think about some of the battles you've had. I had one here a while back. This has been probably 5 years ago, I guess. Maybe 6 years ago. Well, Becky's been gone 8 years. Let's see, she died in 13. This was probably in 15 or 16. And I'd been struggling with something because I felt like the Lord showed me He was going to do something. And it never happened. And I struggled with that. And one night I was working and I was praying and all of a sudden I just lost it. And I just reacted in a very mad way. And I thought, Carl, you're angry with God. I'd never seen it before that. You're angry with the Lord. So I went to one minister and talked to him. I went to another minister and talked to him. We had prayer. And I went home that night. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, I can help you with that. Just so sweet. I can help you with that. I can do it in the morning. So I went to bed. I got up the next morning. And I lay in bed praying. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, what you need to do is surrender this whole thing to me. Give it all to me. No matter what you think about it, child, you may think that I showed you that you're going to get this, and you misunderstood what I was doing. You know, sometimes we don't always know we think we do. I mean, I've been in this a long time now. I've been through a lot of things, and I thought, wow, that's the will of the Lord right there, and I may miss it somehow. So I got out of bed, and I headed to my place of prayer, and I started praying. And I started surrendering. I started turning loose. I started giving it to Him. And just a little bit, I had it. I knew when I had it. And I still got it. It don't bother me now like it did. I thought, thank the Lord. Now you think, man, that was easy. It was. But maybe not everyone's that easy. I've had battles that wasn't quite that easy to get. But the bottom line is, when we got Jesus, He can help us get anything at any time, at any place. It doesn't have to be, all right, Brother Sammons, let's give you another example. Brother Sammons went to get sanctified. He thought he had it, then he figured he didn't have it. So he tried again. Thought he had it, and he didn't have it. Tried again, and he just couldn't seem to get a hold of it. Finally, he was at Myrtle. And he went out one night, and he was crying out to God, and God spoke to him and said, I'll give it to you in the morning. Give it to you in the morning. Brother Darice Gibson, I believe it was, got up to preach. And Brother Sammons said, I knew what he's going to preach on before he even started. He's going to preach on the Holy Ghost. And he did. And Brother Sammons got up and he came to the altar and he put in for it and he got it that time. He knew he had it. When they dismissed the service, he didn't want to speak to anybody in the crowd. He said, I just kind of slinked out of the building. And he headed back there to the place where him and Sister Verna was staying. She had another sister in there she was talking to. And he come in and he said there was such a holy solemnity, all three of them fell down and started praying. We struggle sometimes. We cry, we beg, we plead. Lord, am I ever going to get this victory? Am I ever this or ever that? Listen, folks, when the Lord gets ready to give it to you, He'll give it to you, and you ought to thank God every day for it after that. Thank the Lord for victory tonight. Thank the Lord for what He's done tonight. Thank the Lord for answering prayer. Thank the Lord for saving, sanctifying, satisfying, blessing, all His love, mercy, pity, compassion, grace, forgiveness, all the things that He gives us. Thank God for that tonight. Oh, in everything, give thanks. In everything, not just one thing or two things, but everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I appreciate your love, your pity, your compassion.